You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 7th, 2018, and this podcast is rated M for microtransactions.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm Joel Jabor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorless conversation about them video games. And things are really serious these days.
Oh my God.
It feels like.
So serious. There's so many warnings.
There are a lot of warnings. Like you might have seizures if you watch this Pokemon dance video.
Man, do you remember when that happened? And now that's in front of pretty much every single game or on every single box. You know, be careful.
Yeah.
Be careful. This is a seizure game.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that is exceedingly rare. Like, my understanding is that is a very rare medical condition.
I mean, I guess. I don't know enough about epilepsy to know how common it is, but I mean...
Well, I know that my mother was genuinely scared that, like, shit might give me epilepsy.
But that's the other thing. You can't really get epilepsy. You either have it or you
don't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, you are prone to those things happening. But I think there was a short scare... where people genuinely believed if you watch too much of them Pokemon, you might end up getting seizures.
It's because people just get too obsessed with those Pokemon.
It wasn't a seizure,
it was just obsession for me.
Was there a moment where people thought, fuck, the ESRB better put warnings on these video games that there might be seizure-inducing stuff? I mean, they do have it in front of some video games.
Oh, yeah. There's on plenty of games. I mean, they must have... I think that's just become a thing that is just more expected. You know, like if there's certain movies or TV or whatever.
Like checking your Halloween candy for drugs.
Oh, my God. Oh, the razors. You watch out. There's a razor blade in there.
I don't know how one gets a razor blade in an apple, but sure.
That's a mission for next Halloween.
We are talking about the ESRB today and some recent changes they made to labeling video games. The ESRB, my understanding, stands for the Electronic Sexy Radness Bureau.
Oh, yeah. So rad.
So rad. No, that's the Entertainment Software Rating Board. And these are the folks that regulate. I don't know. It's kind of like a soft regulation because they're not really a governmental body.
Yeah, it's like in America, it's like the MPAA that rates movies or the whatever board that decides whether to put the explicit tag on you know, albums or whatever.
Exactly, right. Which is why, like, when you want to watch a really violent film, you can bring your, like, 10-year-old child, but if you want to watch a sexy movie, that's a little harder.
Yeah, that's right. Well, same deal for video games, I guess.
Yeah.
I
mean, so the big piece of news was that they decided they were going to create a in-game purchases label to be added to video games.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird that we're updating the labels on our video games at all, don't you think?
You mean physical boxes?
I mean, that alone is a very good point, right? Like, yeah, the physical box is going to have like a little sticker that says includes microtransactions.
Yeah. I would guess you could put, I mean, that's, to me, that is already like an interesting point of discussion because where do you normally see these types of ratings?
Yeah.
And you used to just see them in a store on a box.
Yeah.
Two things that don't really exist anymore in 2018. Yep.
Yeah. Well, my question actually is whether or not they're going to be required in front of video game trailers. Because right now, the ESRB...
that's where we see them now.
Exactly, yeah. So are you adding like an extra 5-second buffer where it is like, hey, also this game contains microtransactions, or is it going to be something where it's exclusively on the box?
I mean, maybe they can put it on the same screen where it's like, this is rated T. Also, here's the second part where there's in-game purchases.
Yep. I always thought it was funny that, and I don't know if this is going to happen in video games, but at least in movies, there came a moment, and I think it's pretty recent, probably over the past like 3 to 5 years, where movies started to use that description section as its own form of marketing.
Yeah.
So when a movie would be like rated R, it would be like rated R for fucking kick-ass violence and nonstop heart-beating action, right?
It's kind of like the Deadpool school of marketing.
Yeah, and that is actually very common now. You know, like even for sexual stuff, it'll say like, you know, rated R for you know, hot content or something. I don't know what they put there, but there's like, you know, sometimes they're also overly descriptive. Like I've seen a movie rating before that's like rated R for one scene of like simulated oral sex and X, you know.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, we need to tell people, look, we're rated R, but you only have to cover your child's eyes once, so go ahead and bring them.
But be on the lookout, because it's not going to come when you think it's going to come.
Boobs show up at 5 minutes and 15 seconds.
It's just randomly. You were going to be in the middle of something. It's like, ah!
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think this is a good idea? Do you think this is this a necessary thing?
I mean, okay, so what is the assumption here, right? The assumption is that the reason that this exists is to notify consumers who might otherwise not know that there are other monetization events that take place after you purchase the game.
Mm.
And I think there are two ways to think about it. One is for the consumer that is especially susceptible. Really, there's three ways. One is the consumer that's susceptible to gambling or something, right? Mm. They might see this label and go, ugh, I don't know, I've already spent $1,500 on Penguin Club or whatever. I really can't justify picking this game up when I'm going to end up buying DLC, right? Mm. The other type of person is the one that is just vehemently against DLC, period, and goes, you know what? This is fucking bullshit. I don't want microtransactions. I just want to get my game and go home.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is letting them know, hey, just FYI, there's content that's in this game that you might not want to consume, that they're going to ask you to make this purchase and you might not want to do it.
Mm.
And then I think the third one, and I think this is really at the heart of why this was done in the first place, is the idea that this is a warning for parents to prevent their kids from playing games that have malicious microtransactions involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, I guess is the original genesis of the original ESRB ratings, period, where it came out of a kind of won't someone think of the children style cultural scare.
Right. The problem, though, is it's strange because according to what games they'd put this label on, this would include anything that includes loot boxes, which I think is really the at heart what they're trying to address with this, right? Is like the recent loot box scandal. It's not coincidence that it's timed in that era where people are pissed about loot boxes and Battlefront and all that kind of stuff. But this also includes regular DLC. So if it's got like a season pass or even one piece of downloadable content, it could be narrative content. It could be like an in-game expansion that you buy. No loot boxes, no randomness. You know exactly what you're going to get. It's $20 and you buy this piece of content and you're done, right? They're all getting the same label. So I don't know how useful it really is.
Yeah, that seems like it's the most... That just tells me that this is the most slapdash reaction to everything, where it's just, let's pick the broadest thing possible and not bother to really define it or actually address the problem that seems to have started all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because didn't you tell me the latest Shadow of the Colossus has an in-game purchase on it?
Yeah, there's all kinds of like weird little pieces of cosmetic stuff that you could get.
It's just so weird. I mean, there's... Mm-hmm. And that's looked at as one of the quintessential defined single player self-contained experiences, and it's just not that way anymore. I mean, Legend of Zelda had DLC content. Yeah.
Well, Persona 5 has technically DLC content because you can buy like custom skins for the characters to wear. Like you can have the if you're a total weeb and you want to, I don't know, be turned on the whole game, you could put all the characters in their summer swimsuit outfits during combat, right? Like that costs money. That's like $3 or whatever. This is a classic Japanese like 60 plus hour RPG.
Oh my gosh.
So clearly, you know, this spans all games, whether or not they're for children, whether or not they're for adults, whether or not they're hardcore strategy games or like touching emotional narrative games. Like I've been playing Life is Strange, and as of this day on recording, they released a $10 piece of DLC specifically for Life is Strange. Like, those games could not be further apart, you know? Yeah. but they are still all subject to this warning, essentially.
I had no clue about that Persona stuff. That's freaking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could get, like, a Chie outfit for all of the characters.
Yeah, just turn everybody into Chie.
Male,
yeah.
Female, don't care. I just want all in there.
You can also put the Persona 4 outfits on them, which I think is pretty fun.
That's amazing, too. All teddies.
Yeah. Well, so, regarding the label, right? When you look at something like the age rating, right? E for everyone, T for teen. I think there's even, E 13 plus. So there's these gradations of warnings, right? That's saying, this game is appropriate for everybody. This game is appropriate for maybe some of those older kids, teens, adults, so on and so forth. Do you think that really the ESRB should have a gradation scale? Like, should it be, rated MT for microtransactions, rated LD for loot boxes? Like, is there a check mark? Is there some system that you think would be useful, and what would that look like?
I was kind of thinking about that because I am now considering, like, just what you expose a child to. And I was like, okay, well, I could see the argument for broad ratings categories as basically as a pointer, as a first cut, where it's like, hey, this is just a broad suggestion. You have to still look at it yourself, but we're trying to save you some time by differentiating at a very high level the difference between Mortal Kombat and Katamari.
Right.
It's like, okay, at that level of granularity, I can see the value in it. So it's like, okay, well, can you apply that to the financial side, to the loot box side? And maybe it's, maybe that's why they have such a broad category of in-game purchases, because it's like, okay, but you would need that extra layer if you really want to read about it, where it's like, okay, in-game purchases. Okay, what's the sub box underneath the big box?
Right.
Does it say microtransactions? Does it say season pass or one-time DLC or cosmetic only or something like that? Like, I could see that, but, it really starts to get, I don't know.
Put that pay-to-win game down.
Yeah, it's like, I'll pay for skins, but not for power-ups.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think that approach is better, but the problem is there are some games that blur those lines, that have all kinds of things that they monetize around. There are games out there, and many of them are the most popular games we talk about every year, include randomness in the form of loot boxes, and include aesthetic purchases, and include gameplay purchases, and include, large expansive pieces of DLC. So at what point do you just run out of fucking space on the box where I can't see Sonic's face anymore?
Where it's like, oh, this requires a network connection.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, I mean, in fact, I would argue like we're just getting more and more to the point where we're adding labels that don't make any sense, because we even have the one that says, your experience may differ online. A fucking course it will. Like it's to a point where I'm not even sure we need that label anymore, because that doesn't really tell us anything. So I'm not quite sure who this is seeking to protect. It feels like this is seeking to protect the games industry and publishers by being able to say to legislators who are complaining about loot boxes, well, it's not our fault. We gave you fair warning. There's a sticker on the box that says contains microtransactions.
Yeah, it's right next to the sticker that says requires a DualShock 3 or something.
Yeah, and look, I've been doing, research into the way that, like, kids and parents play video games and whatnot, right? And overwhelmingly, the majority of parents, something like 94%, say that they pay attention to what games their kids are playing. It's often the parents that are making those game purchases. But we also know a lot of little kids play GTA and Call of Duty, games that are not really appropriate for their age. So how do we square that with the way that parents say, yes, I pay attention, to the fact that, it's probably questionable that they do?
Yeah.
I
was thinking about, if the label is an imperfect way of attacking this, what does this actually look like in practice? And the more I thought about it, the more I started to understand why Nintendo finally found itself in the way of, like, friend codes.
Yeah.
Because you start to get so specific where it's like, okay, maybe you need an in-game pin to spend money, or you need to have some sort of,
I mean, you kind of already waiver. Do that, right? Because you have to be signed in. You have to agree to the terms of service of PlayStation or Microsoft or Steam.
But that stuff is super easy. I mean, you know, my credit card is stored inside of the PS4, and if someone's playing on my account, they can basically just go ham on it.
Yeah. But I mean, how many barriers do you set up to protect your kid or yourself from, you know, people making that mistake? You know, like, I don't know. I mean, at some
point,
that's
why I was saying, like, that's why I can see why Nintendo backed itself into this corner at a certain point in history of like requiring a 16-digit code to even interact with anyone online. Cause it's like, it's hard to have a nuanced take on it.
Yeah. Well, and then on top of that, right, Nintendo received a lot of flack for that because it was inconvenient. But that's basically the point of protecting kids, right? It's like, yeah. you're setting up barriers. That's what you're doing.
As inconvenient as possible for them to spend a bunch of money on it.
When I buy a game online, when I buy something on Steam or on PSN, it's a breeze. I enter a few buttons and I'm there. And to some extent, I want that, right? Like, yeah. I like that convenience. I don't want to have to whip out my fucking bank statements every time I want to purchase a game, you know, or piece of DLC. So you could say, well, let's add these barriers of entry. Let's say you have to have like a second sign-in anytime you want to make a purchase. Is that something that we like put in by default and then the parent who's inconvenienced can turn it off? Because if they can, then we're in the same space again, right? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I also am not entirely convinced that this is something that happens very often. Like, I'm not quite sure, you know, when mom and dad leave the room, is like little Timmy really going like, ha ha, now's the time to download all of this sweet DLC. They'll never know, you know, like that doesn't happen. When I was a kid, I stole my parents' credit card and I bought a bunch of wildlife documentary movies off of the TV. I did this. I bought a bunch of Wild America VHSs. Oh,
Wild America. What a great series.
Great series. Fantastic series. If you want to learn about nature in North America, by all means, Wild America.
Those rams in slow motion.
Oh, the first time I learned about a pig's curlicue penis, the wild boar, that from there, right? Again, mature content. Maybe I shouldn't have been consuming that.
Rated M.
But like, you know, I made that mistake, quote unquote mistake. They found out. I got in trouble. I still got to watch a bunch of badass nature documentaries. But the point is, right, like, kids will be kids. Like, they will make, if they're going to make these purchases, like, they're going to make them. I'm not quite convinced that it's at such an extreme case that we really need these really high barriers of entry, you know? If anything, it feels more like this is, I mean, I hate to, like, say I want to blame the parents because there's a lot of, like, structural issues involved. But if you really want to arm parents with the tools to help monitor what their kids are consuming, a little label that's hard to read that says may contain in-game purchases isn't really going to help them, especially when you're thinking about the perspective of parents who are not tech savvy and don't even fucking know what DLC means or stands for. Like, in all seriousness, like, if I went to...
That's that girl group from the 90s, right?
Yeah, like, if I went to a lot of parents and was like, oh, your son's buying a loot box. What the fuck is a loot box? Like, that doesn't mean anything. Is that like a Kinder egg? Like, what is that?
Those are illegal.
Those are illegal. Hey! I'm not convinced this is a helpful thing for even 99% of consumers.
That's I think that's probably right. I think it's really easy to like to take the save the children type stance when the more realistic problem here is that this preys on people's psychology, loot boxes specifically.
Yes.
And so I was wondering if there's Could there be a thing in-game where if you have in-game purchases, you are forced to show someone how much they've spent over the past X days before they click yes to buy it?
Well, so I think that's where a better solution can be found, right? And it's the one that I think the ESRB is doing this tactic specifically to try to avoid, right?
Yeah.
And that is essentially regulating what is functionally gambling, you know? Like I think it can be scary to say people should treat loot boxes as gambling. They should, just like China does, right? The reason we know loot box odds in games that we play today is because it's regulation in China to declare the odds of getting any one particular piece of good in a loot box.
Yeah.
I don't think it's I think it's scary to say we should regulate loot boxes in that way. I think it's scary to say we should treat it as gambling and you should only be able to purchase it if you're 21 and up, that they should be taxed, that they should be, you know, like that we can imagine all sorts of saying, let's actually genuinely treat in-game purchases, especially loot boxes, as a form of gambling.
Mm.
But I think I'm not entirely convinced that that's a bad idea. You know, like I do think we should regulate gambling. You know, like I don't think that a 14-year-old should be allowed to go into a casino and pull the slots. You know, I was just in a casino this past weekend. I threw $40 into a fucking slot machine in like 15 minutes. You know, like there are ways that those casinos are designed to get people to purchase. And those same lessons and innovations are being used in modern video games. So, yeah, like, of course, if there are things that we find questionable, maybe it's okay to not just label them, but instead require specific, you know, specific ways of presenting that information or regulating it in some way in the game.
And it's funny because that that does the way that gambling handles it anyway is inherently government enforced,
right?
You know, it's not a, you know, a voluntary thing where, I mean, this is, it's like, you know, state and local and maybe even federal regulation at some point where it would be, man, it would be unprecedented for, you know, the state of Nevada Video Gaming Commission requires that you have to show, you know, like I mean, which is why I guess the ESRB took it so seriously when there was like some state reps in Hawaii and a couple other states that were arguing that, hey, if enough states do this, the game industry will just have to do it by default because it's not like they're going to make special gaming packages just for certain states. They'll have to go to the common denominator.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Although they do with like Australia and other forms of regulation. But
I mean, there's, you know, there's country-specific stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it starts getting crazy if you have to have 50 different versions of your game to...
Well, they'll just start making games specifically playable on Indian reservations.
Oh, my gosh.
Know? Just that loophole.
Your IP. Everyone starts VPNing from an Indian reservation.
I buy that. So
get your Cache Creek VPN.
What are the games... What are the qualities of, like, a loot box that you would prevent... your son, who's not old enough to really be playing these games anyway, but one day will be old enough, right?
Yeah. Like,
what would you want to regulate? What would you be looking out for in terms of letting them play these games, right? Because we know, you know, I'm sure you'll have concerns about violent video games and what age is appropriate for them to do that, what age is appropriate for them to play with other people online.
Yeah.
At what point are they allowed to participate in, like, online chat? Never is the correct answer, but who knows, right? What is your stake right now in terms of, you know, when would you say is a good age for a kid to be able to play a game with loot boxes?
Baby's first loot box. I think the scary thing about it, especially a loot box, so there's two, like, one big cut that I make is whether it's finite or infinite. I mean, if he buys some, you know, the fucking Skyrim expansion and it's like, okay, well, I'm irritated that you did that, but you could only buy, that's only $20 one time. It's not an endless supply of loot boxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a big difference. The other thing that's just scary overall is that it's, and this is just a thing that is different, in our modern world period, is that money is really easy to spend because it's invisible in most cases now.
Yeah.
It's not like you're saving up your piggy bank to go down to GameStop to buy a thing. It's like, this is just invisible money that's coming off of an invisible ledger and you're never having to see it.
Yep.
And so it's inherently worrisome because how do you teach someone something that doesn't physically exist? That's just a really hard thing. Like, tangibility is a big thing for kids.
I suggest that your answer is every time they want to make an in-game purchase, you take something that they own of comparable value and destroy it in front of their eyes.
But that's the problem. Like, the comparable value, it's like I'd have to, you know, Sam loves tissues, so I'd have to destroy like a few tissues at a time because, oh, he's only buying 99 cents worth. Okay. But like,
yeah,
it just adds up. And I'd just have to go down to Walgreens and buy like 50 cartons of tissues.
Well, maybe the 19th century is a lesson and you need to put your kid to work. You know, buy whatever you want, but that's going to be your own money.
Han and I actually did discuss this specifically, and our current plan...
Child labor?
No, well...
Oh, for chores.
Send them to the mines. Our current plan is to have a prepaid card and have his own profile on video game systems and load that up with X amount of money. And when that money runs out, that's it.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. I was actually reading about, I forget where I heard this, but there was some parents, they gave their kids a credit card with an infinite spend, but they could only buy books with it.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, only physical books. So it's like, well, you know, there's a hard limit. If you want to read a lot, go for it. But although if it were me, clearly based upon my Wild America habits, I would buy books and then sell them on eBay.
I was thinking about that same thing where, like, I could really do some damage with, like, the Star Wars expanded universe. Like, my parents would have just gone into debt off of that.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think trying to sandbox him in is probably our goal.
Yeah.
It's like, well, all right. Or what you could do is save up your money for a couple months and then buy a whole DLC pack. Or you could waste all your money on fucking trying to get that Mercy skin, but that's your problem, you know?
Yeah. I think the other factor that is different for kids these days and kids that will be coming up, right? Like your kid, is there's going to be social pressure attached to some of these things, you know? Like, it's not just that, oh, they might be suckered in. That's a really cool Mercy skin. Like, look, if their friends are playing Fortnite, if their friends are, you know, doing X or Y and they want to look cool too, then maybe there will be real social pressure to spend that money in game. And, you know, that's something that is a conversation that parents have to have with our kids anyway.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and now you're just adding it into another sphere of their life.
That's a good point. And because it would be tempting to say that, and I still do think that probably the more insidious version of that is DLC or loot boxes that just give you in-game boosts, you know, that literally make it easier to win at the game. Like, I think that's probably a more vicious version of it. But
yeah,
you could easily see, oh, like our little friends group, we only wear the purple jumpsuit in Fortnite or something. Yeah. But, oh, my mom doesn't let me buy DLC, so I can never have... I can never be fitted out with the crew. And it's like, that sucks. But, you know, it's kind of that same conversation that you have to have with your kid around, like, nope, I'm not buying you those $80 Jordans because you're just going to destroy them in one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There is a weird social pressure thing. But all of this is to say that the label really doesn't help any of this stuff. It's like the in-game system that are the key to controlling all of this.
Yep.
And the more I think about it, the more it would also be nice. I don't know if this exists or not. I should probably look into it. It would be cool to get some sort of, you know, it's like logging into your bank where it gives you a second factor authentication where if someone tried to make a purchase, something gets pushed to your phone and you have to press a button before it goes through.
Yeah. Turn on your Nest camera and be like, Tammy, what are you doing?
Like, no, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like the idea of like an advanced warning.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I'll say to ESRB's credit, and maybe this isn't deserved, but what a label does do is at least maybe act as a reminder for the parent to look into what that does. You know, like, well, what is that? What is that microtransaction really?
And it's maybe a good first cut.
Yeah, and I think for people that know a little bit of that video games, but not a lot, it's especially not useful for them because all games have microtransactions. So really it's just a reminder for them to say, well, what type of microtransaction is this? Yeah. I think there are genuinely a lot of parents out there who didn't know that when they buy their kid a game, that there are multiple times as many opportunities to increase that purchase. Yes. If you buy a $60 game, there are games that you could reasonably potentially spend hundreds upon hundreds of dollars on top of what you already bought when you first bought that game, and they just had no idea.
Yeah.
And this label is going to sort of make them wake up to that, right?
Yeah. And wake up to the fact that, like, all the company's business model is predicated on a lot of people taking part in that economy.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. and knowing that a lot of the that profit comes from those transactions, you know, because then you can at least be on the lookout. You know, you could have that conversation that says, well, you know, what is it in the game that you want to buy, right? Or what are the ways that, like, you could make that purchase, right?
Yeah.
And I think to that end, like, there are other organizations that do a way better job of this than ESRB. And I think, I don't think that the ESRB is proclaiming to be the be-all, end-all of consumer protections for parents, right? Like, Common Sense Media is like a nonprofit organization that produces a ton of great content for parents, like movie ratings, video game ratings, book ratings that go really in depth and do reviews, right? There are parent sites like there's like a gamer dad website that is specifically for parents, and they review the video games with that in mind, and they talk about, you know, during this scene there's explicit violence in this way, or, you know, like, there's a difference, right, between there's a scene of violence towards a woman versus there's a scene of, you know, war high scale violence, right? Like, all of these things are helpful tools for measuring whether or not an experience is appropriate for your child at whatever maturity level they happen to be, regardless of their age. You know, like, if your kid's a 10-year-old but is super sensitive to something, or you're super sensitive to something and you don't want them to encounter it, you're gonna have to do the research. So really the best any label can do is to say, hey, parent, remember, do the fucking research. Go in and put the work.
I'll be super fascinated to just see how this starts popping up in front of games, like in front of trailers and all of that.
Yeah.
Because we're just at the beginning, you know, it hasn't even really been fully implemented yet.
Yeah. Are there any in-game things that you would actually like to see more labels about? Like, would you ever want to know, like, what level of violence is in this game?
Or it's like, you cannot, this game has inverted controls and is not modifiable. Instant ban.
Sonic appears in this game. Nope. Hard pass.
This is not in my house.
Yeah, this is a Mario game that's not made by one of the core Mario teams.
I don't know. The problem is I'm pretty literate in it, so it's hard to take myself out of that mindset. Right. Did you have anything in your mind?
I mean, I think the violence one is an interesting one for sure.
Mm.
In a weird way, like, I would kind of want to see games rated, have their genre somewhere or something, you know? Like, there are games that I think look like they're good games that aren't. Can I just get a label that's like whether or not a game sucks? Because I wouldn't want to let my kid play a shitty game, you know what I mean? Can I get
a fun factor rating, please?
Yeah, like, I just want, like, how much is this game going to suck? Or conversely, like, what is the level of addiction, or what is the time spent? You know, like, that might be a good one, right? Like, there are games that let's take Monster Hunter World, right? Which we talked about over the past couple of weeks. There are, like, satisfaction loops, right? You know that when you're going into a hunt, you're going to take upwards of, you know, 30 to 50 minutes, right?
If
I'm buying a game for my kid and it's like, look, you have 1 hour between 7 and 8 to play video games, and that's your only time.
Yeah.
If they're going to be pulling some fucking shit like I did when I was a kid that was like, Mom, I have to get to the next save point, right? And then 1 hour becomes 4 hours as I bypass multiple save points. Like, that genuinely might be good information to know.
You want a bullshit rating on your...
I want a bullshit rating. Yeah. I want to feel comfortable being like, when I just straight up unplug the console, then I'm not really wiping out all of their progress.
Yeah, should've you want to know if there's cloud saves, but for the punitive purpose.
Yeah, I mean, that's the benefit that you and I have, though, is because we're knowledgeable, we're not going to fall for any of this bullshit.
No, I mean, come on. It's like, we'll just say get good and then turn off the circuit breaker.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I'm interested to hear what people have to say about it. I mean, I have a different perspective on it now that I may have had a few years ago, but it's still one of those things that is troubling at best.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in hearing what people say. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our regulation tower. We're monitoring everything that your kid consumes.
No one escapes the panopticon.
We are the watchers on the wall. come on down. Give us a rating. Anything but M for mature.
Yeah. Well, M for mature is fine. AO is where we really get into problems.
That's true. I mean, has there even been an AO game?
I mean, there's probably plenty, there's like, but they're not allowed on the major platforms. Like, yeah, I don't think Microsoft allows it or something. So probably there's probably some weird games on Steam that we shouldn't talk about.
There's the eroge genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. As always, thank you for listening. We will be talking to you next week.
Ciao.